thank you to our three artists who are all blessed among women today. We have a few minutes for questions. If you have other cards, we'll pick them up now. What did I say?
Well, just that there's this whole pile of cards and we have 2 minutes.
Well, we have 15 minutes, right?
Yes.
So we'll whip along here, and I think the way this will work is I will read a question, and if it's addressed to a specific person, we'll ask them, and then if others want to respond, they can chime in. And I think I would ask the three of you to use these small microphones on the table so we get it all on tape. I have here a request to show two of Nalini's paintings, which I think would be very helpful. We didn't get to see her work. Would you like to do that now?
I am an Asian theologian, and I am so glad that I met Nalini. So I bought two of her paintings, and I just want to share with you, brothers and sisters. This one is entitled Compassion.
I think if you hold it on the paper.
And this one is entitled Nativity.
It's very nice.
Nativity.
That's the search you talked about.
Here we have a question for any one of the three of you who'd like to chime in. How do you get from the story or idea to the image? What's your process? In 5 seconds.
Scribbling.
Less.
I'm serious. You watched Wynne and I, who have never painted together. We didn't really even know how each other painted. We started with a scribble. You saw it work. And you're seeing it unfold. That's exactly how I work. Only I listen to what people are saying, and I scribble while they're talking.
Okay. This is for Ingelina. How can we facilitate authentic music when we're among cultures who've had their original ways repressed? This person will be working in Panama.
What was the second part?
How can we facilitate authentic music when we're among cultures who have had their original ways repressed? I think your word for it was missionized. Or
is that how
it, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's amazing. Functioning and not functioning, but somehow it goes. It's a difficult question. I think authentic music in where I have been in the world does not exist in churches at the moment. It's excavated, which means 100 to 400 years of colonization and missionizing have to be scraped away if there is memory to that far away past. We have to be aware that most music in the world has never been written down. What we sing here is written down, but of course for local people, that would make such a narrow way of dealing with that music, because now they cannot improvise anymore and add a syllable or subtract a syllable. And they can't change a little bit here and a little bit there. I think what we have to encourage is local people to first get their theology straight, because I strongly believe that you cannot have poetry, new poetry, church poetry, nor church music where the theology has not been enculturated. That means soiled where the soil is. Christianity, as I said yesterday, is still a potted plant in most missionized countries. So what we have to do is try to dig below the influence of the westernized Christianity that was brought by our forebears, and then encourage creativity where there was suppression, and then see what comes out. I think more we cannot, we can just encourage. Is that the answer that the person was looking for? It helps.
Okay. For Nancy, what are your thoughts on ways to make bridges from traditional images in worship spaces? For example, white Mary statues to new visual images.
May I look at the question?
I think that's
easier. I think, first of all, the first thing that comes to me is that the bridge needs to be temporary. And what I mean by that is part of the problem with visual art is that it becomes fixed in our images and therefore limits our imagination. So could the white Mary statue disappear for a particular festival or a particular period of time, with the congregation understanding that she will come back. You know, she will come back, but we're going to look at something else for a while. The other thing that comes to me, and this is a very complex question, so this is a very surface answer. The other thing that comes to me is the importance of not one person deciding that, but that a community needs to discern that, and the community needs to advocate it, so the artist who presents the work is not left alone to defend it. I think those are the first two things that come on the top of my head. I really believe in committee work. I really believe in community discernment when it's truthful.
Okay. Nancy, there are several questions here all along the same line, which are, how do you hang these large-scale projects?
That is just a fabulous question. I work in three different ways. Drop line systems, which means a simple hook up in the ceiling and a line that goes through it that gets fastened to the wall that you can stand on the floor and essentially go fishing with it. That's the easiest way. I don't do ladders too much anymore. I'm too heavy and too old. My favorite way is in Grace Cathedral. They have this great internal catwalk system, and I stand on the floor with my walkie-talkie and I say, a little to the left. If your church has needed one of those things, and sometimes that system has to go through the ceiling, you can't get it hooked onto the architecture itself. The third way, well, there's two other ways that are a little bit more outrageous. The first one is that, you know, part of what I like to do art in the church is it just involves so many people and so many different people's talents. And one of the talents that we can call on is to not go to be fishers of men, but to call all the fly fishermen in to, you know, give us a line through that place up there. And the most outrageous one that I've done, that I think is really a lot of fun, actually was invented by a man in my church when we went into this space where we were going to have Easter Vigil and the church had taken down our drop line system. And he said, in his inventive and creative way, well, let's use helium balloons to hang the angels. And I went, what? You know, for Easter Vigil? But I went home and I thought about it, and he was right. And we used huge helium balloons. And what was wonderful about it was that the angels visited.
Thank you.
And whoever asked that question, if you would like drawings or anything like that afterwards, come on up and we'll talk about it.
Okay, for Nalini and Nancy, discuss right brain and left brain relationships in the church.
Oh. I don't know if you can say anything about that.
Sure, I can. You know, there's a whole system of theology that's been held, and Lilina, you've taught at Yale, I've taught at PSR. The academic climate of a seminary is ferocious. It is a left brain climate. And the imagination from which, let's face it, prayer comes is not nurtured. And until we can face that split in us, we're never going to deal with the arts seriously. I mean, look what, this is awful to say, but look what happened Thursday night. We went for the academics and not for the art. And they were both important. We needed to find a way to do both. So they're friends, but right now the way the system's set up, we don't acknowledge the right brain, the side of us that imagines, the side of us that dreams, the side of us that has vision, the side of us that loves, that cares, that has passion. You know, that's one of my soapboxes. I better stop. Yeah. Nalini. You're just talking to it.
Just talking to you. Yes, fortunately for me, I've spent nearly 7 years at Yale, and I didn't in all those years see that there were two sides to this brain at all. I suppose it was because of the influence of the religion and arts program, which is has grown and has nurtured and nourished and influenced people from every other department as well. I mean, they would come up the hill to hear John Cook's lectures, to hear Peter Hawkins, to hear some of Granger Ryan, some of these exceptional, extraordinary people. As for this division that exists, certainly does, it's regrettable that people don't really realize what power the arts have in influencing and directing not only the minds and hearts of people, but also their lives.
I'd like to put a precautionary notice in here, and that is where I'm frightened about the arts and churches, that often we are tools of propaganda. Or we're graffiti specialists. You know, I get so tired of words that are calligraphed, and that's supposed to be visual art. Visual art's so much more than that. And yet, if there's not a word in it, it's somehow not religious. Take that.
For any of you that would like to respond to this, but this is addressed particularly to Nancy, do you have hints for those of us trying to do large group projects with people unfamiliar with the medium? How do you maintain a creative, supportive ambiance amidst the inevitable tensions and problems?
Can I see the question? Do you want to talk about that? You want to say something?
You say something.
Okay. I think the first thing is keep it simple. Keep it simple and try it out. And allow yourself to fail. And give yourself forgiveness for not getting it perfect.
I support what Nancy said and would add that if we tell a group like this in the very beginning that it is in a way dangerous for some to face a picture or today a sentence or a piece of music that overwhelms them suddenly, I think if we make everybody aware that might happen, but it's okay. We are together, we can help each other, or it is good, it comes out. Then I think we have put all the safe guards in and hope for the best.
Thank you. We have one more question, unless there are others out there. I think our time is about up. I think, Nancy, it's my understanding that your works are designed to be used, and some of them are temporary installments. Am I right about that?
That's correct. First of all, I live in a really small space, and what do I do with all of it?
Well, and I think that's what this question is getting at. I'll pass it to you. What is the significance of that for you?
The significance of it for me, I tried to talk about in my lecture, and that is, you know, if you make a great banner for the church and put it up 10 years in a row, there's no room for newness. And I want the Word of God to come to, I'm very demanding, I demand that the Word of God come to me freshly. And if I have to use old forms year after year after year, and I only have to take care of them all the time, but they can't say something new to me time and time and time again, and I don't get to hear the new voice. I use my work, and like the banners in there, I love seeing them flow through the church. There have been many people that have come up already to say, how can we borrow them? You borrow anything I make by simply paying to have it packed up, shipped to you, and ship it back to me. I think Lewis Hyde has been my mentor in this. He says that nothing is worth anything unless it's given away. I really believe that. I believe that God has given me a great gift, and my task is to pass it on. And along the way, I get great gifts, and that's how I keep my economic self afloat. And that's just that simple. I'm not attached to the objects. I can make new ones.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you all for being here.